Welcome to the Women's Hope Podcast, co-hosted by Dr. Shelby Cullen and Kimberly Cummings. The Women's Hope Podcast is about speaking woman to woman, generation to generation, bringing hope and encouragement through the Word of God. Now, let's join Dr. Shelby Cullen and Kimberly Cummings on the Women's Hope Podcast.
Well, welcome again to the Women's Hope Podcast. Thank you for joining us today, and thank you for coming over to my house today to record, Shelby. Welcome.
I'm so happy to be here, and thank you for making me a turkey and cheese sandwich.
I just pulled out all the stops for Shelby today. Yeah, and even included some chips and some grapes, so we're highfalutin over here. But, you know, it was just a situation we had where our normal recording place wasn't available, and so we decided we would give it a whirl here at the house, and it was just so fun because there's so many opportunities that come around a table, and so we just get to sit here and talk about discipleship together, and what a sweet time it was. So I do live in the heart of my valley, so you may hear a horn or a siren in the middle of all of this, but just be patient with us, and we are just so thankful for our listeners. We love you guys, we appreciate you guys, and we're really appreciative of the feedback we're receiving as well, regarding the podcast. Just even a young new believer told me the other day, this is so necessary. This is so good, and was so appreciative. So
that's encouraging.
My heart was blessed. So you know who you are out there. So thank you for that encouragement just to keep us going. So welcome, Shelby. I have a question for you because we are approaching the holiday season. Mm-hmm. Do you put your tree up before Thanksgiving or after Thanksgiving?
You know, in my house, we've tried different things, but our tradition is to put the tree up Friday after Thanksgiving. Sean, we have a particular nursery we like to go to get our tree, and we want to put it up as soon as we can so we can enjoy it for as long as we can because we love Christmas. But I'm just kind of a traditionalist. I don't really want to do the Christmas thing before I've done the Thanksgiving thing. You know, the decorations, because first of all, at my house is a lot of decorations, and it just takes a lot of time to transition over, but it's part of the fun of that weekend, don't you think? Just to be able to go do that as a family, go get your tree. So we did it obviously when the kids were little, and now it's just more or less Sean and I, but I still, even though it's just the two of us, I still get a pretty decent tree.
Good. Yeah. Well, so you don't put it up in October.
No, I have friends that do that. They just want to get into the Christmas season right away, and more power to them, but I definitely wait. That's just how I enjoy the season. I don't want to rush it too soon. I don't know how they would do that with a tree. They must have a fake tree then, because they don't last that long.
You would have to.
Yeah, but for sure, I know people like that, and it's okay. You can do that if you want. You have the freedom.
You have the freedom. That's right. Yeah, well, my issue with it is the dust that it collects, because how do you...
Especially in LA, huh?
Yeah, and how do you dust a Christmas tree? So I stick around Thanksgiving as well. Sometimes if we're traveling, I might put it up right before I leave, so that when I come home from traveling, it's done. But for the most part, I stick to the weekend of Thanksgiving.
It's just a nice weekend to have. It just kind of seems to work.
It does.
You know, with the other thousands of people you're going to run into, but that's okay. It's part of the fun.
It is. It just becomes part of the season, doesn't it? So today, we are going to do a little bit of myth busting. Maybe we could call it myth busting. Maybe we could call it busting excuses.
Right.
So, but there are some thoughts, some beliefs about discipleship, and we call them myths. There are things that aren't true, and we want to just talk about those together. We'll use scripture and just a mindset, a biblical mindset, to help us think through some of these things that each of us has probably heard or maybe even said of why you may not be discipling someone. So with that being said, I will start with myth bust number one. Myth number one, I do not have enough time to be involved in discipleship. Okay, well, this one is really easy to bust with scripture because, first of all, it's in multiple places how we use our time. But I want to read a quote to you by Professor Bruce Hindmarsh that says, busyness is moral laziness because it is often a statement of our self-importance and our excuse to be inattentive to people. Ouch. But God has given us just enough time to do what we need to do moment by moment to respond to Him. And in His grace, He is there, He is present, and is helping us to do what we need to do. Every moment is a sacrament where time touches eternity, and there is exactly enough time to do what God has called us to do. Every moment that we have, every breath that we take, everything belongs to God. Every moment, therefore, is set apart, meaning it is holy. It belongs to Him. And we're to give this to, He gives us every moment as a gift to use for His glory. Mm-hmm. Just a few scriptures to bust this myth. Psalm 39, 4 through 5 says, Lord, make me to know my end and what is the extent of my days. Behold, you have made my days as handbreadths. Surely even man at his best is a mere breath. So life is short. The need for discipleship is urgent. So we do have the time because if it's important to God, then it should be important to us. James 4:14 says, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. So that goes with the idea of what I said a while ago of just taking each moment and using the gifts that God has given me in the realm of discipleship. And my favorite verse regarding this is, and even when you and I talked about doing this podcast, this was one of the reasons that I said we needed to do it. That's in Ephesians 5:15 and 16. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the idea of being careful, that means to weigh, to examine. And so we want to examine how we are walking in light of the commands of being a discipler. Mm-hmm. And so we need to be intentional about that. Shelby, how about myth number two?
Oh, sure. No, I'm enjoying your answer because I'm realizing the urgency and importance of discipleship because the days are evil. And mm-hmm. really the world is not getting any better. It's getting worse, as we know. And so, of course, we should be urgent about coming alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ and just encouraging them to love and good deeds, you know, as the day draws near, right? So that was really encouraging. I think that just ministered to my heart, as a matter of fact. Weren't we just talking about that before? I was talking about how it's important to trust God with your time.
Right.
That's huge.
It is huge.
So thank you for that.
Well, we have all been given the same number mm-hmm. of hours in a day. We've all been given the same scripture. And He is such a creative God. We can disciple in creative ways, which we've already spent talking about, just you and I, and we'll get into in a little bit. But it's so practical. Mm-hmm. And so it is doable. And so for me to think that I don't have enough time, I'm really deceiving myself.
Right, right. So. Or the deceiver's deceiving you too.
Sure,
because
sure.
He would love it if you would not meet together, because when you meet together, you're engaging in the unity, and His MO is to create disunity. So
right.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, myth number two is discipleship is just having a meeting with someone once a week. Or we could also say, coupled with that, is just hanging out with someone. Discipleship is just hanging out with someone. How I would answer that is I would kind of say that, sure, you could have a once a week meeting. There are some discipleship relationships that I'm engaged in that require the once a week just because the person likes the continuity. Maybe we're going through a book. Maybe we're just studying something in particular together. And so that's great. But really, discipleship's life on life, it doesn't have to be a formula. It doesn't have to be a certain structure, because what it's really about is it's just, you know, it's meant to, and I think maybe you had mentioned this already, but it's meant to help a person set their sights on Christ and you know, as we look through scripture together and to go a particular direction. But it's life on life, you know, so it could be reflective in meeting once once a week if you want. Or it could look like what I experienced yesterday, which is a young person just wanted to talk through issues of life. And she just needed to take a time out and just meet with me for... We're laughing because there's a motorcycle in the background. But anyway, but she just needed to meet with me for coffee. Was, you know, and sure, like Kim was saying, I could have told the person I don't have time. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, I really don't have time. But as I'm thinking through priorities and what's important to the Lord, I made time. Mm-hmm. Because it was important for me to sit down with this young person and to hear her story and to allow me to hear how she's thinking about her issue and then to bring the Word of God to bear and to minister to her in that moment. And so I couldn't think of anything more important, right?
I agree.
And so that was just huge. So that's not a formal meeting in that sense. That was just being willing to be used as an instrument in God's hand to minister to this young woman. And praise the Lord, she even asked him. It's right. It's not common for that to happen in my experience lately. But anyway, I think discipleship, though, should be purposeful. I think it needs to be, it's not really just hanging out, as it were. We can hang out, but there should be a purpose behind it, an intentionality. Christ should be at the center of the conversation. There should be a freedom for the person to ask questions. There should be intentionality on the discipler's part of creating involvement so the person does open up and share things in their life. There should be a trust that if she does share things from her life, that you're going to give her wise counsel from God's word. I know for me, you know, it just helps to build a better friendship. It gives me a chance to build involvement. That's just huge. But sure, I mean, so it's not just hanging out. It's not loose, like, let's just hang out. You know, there's some purpose behind it, but it may just not look totally formal, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The counter we're sitting at right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like...
Has had many...
Living it out, ladies.
Has had many, many discipleship opportunities. Mm-hmm. Whether it's over, you know, I'll be preparing a meal. We'll be working together to prepare a meal to eat. While we're down here preparing the meal, we'll talk about the issues of life, what's going on in someone's life. And then, you know, my family will come down, which right now is, you know, my husband. So it's not like I've got, you know, 12 kids at bay somewhere, but, you know, that he'll come down and join us. And it's just natural.
Well, that's important too, because even when I was a young believer, it was really important for me to come and hang out with women that had been, you know, in the Lord for a while. They were married. I needed to observe your interactions with one another, just mm-hmm. to be in your home, mm-hmm. just to see how you go about life. And I know that those women had me over for that purpose. I know mm-hmm. that they wanted to spend time with me because they loved me, but I also knew that they had that wonderful idea of let me model the Christian life. And it helped me tremendously. I mean, I think I learned more. I mean, I know what the scripture says about marriage, of course, and how I ought to in the role of a wife, but I learned more by observing women living that out. So if I would have been the kind of woman who just didn't spend any time with anybody, I just think that would have been really sad. And I just wouldn't have learned such valuable lessons over that time in my life. And so I am eternally grateful for that, because that happened quite a bit. And these women were willing to, mm-hmm. you know, have me in their life in that way. And that just is a testimony to how much they loved the Lord, because they were right. obedient to him in that way.
Right. So. They had a high view of discipleship. So, this kind of dovetails into what we're talking about. Discipleship happens by accident. So, we are to make ourselves available to the Lord. We are to stay alert to His Spirit bringing people across our paths. And this will lend us to have a high view of God's providence. Mm-hmm. Discipleship doesn't happen just willy-nilly. Mm-hmm. So, even if it's something unexpected to you, it's not an accident. God's allowing that to happen, and it's for a reason. And when you're thinking about His providence and how He's bringing these situations together, I had the most unusual situation happen to me these last 2 weeks where, you know, a visitor of the church happened to want to be discipled and happened to find me on the website. You know, she happened to visit our church. She happened to, mm-hmm. you know, God was orchestrating that. Mm-hmm. And so to be sensitive to that, and that God God is putting these opportunities together. That is a kindness of His mm-hmm. to do that for us. He is being intentional with our relationships, and we want to seize that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Deuteronomy 6 shows us that discipleship happens when we sit down, when we walk by the way, when we lie down, when we rise. You know, it's this mindset of being about God's business, and especially in the area of discipleship. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's great.
Myth number 4, discipleship does not happen by accident.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, well then, let's go to the next one then. Myth number 5, it is not important that I be involved in discipleship. And of course, if we filter that comment through scripture, we're going to come up very short, because we know, and we even taught on this in our series, we know that Jesus himself, our Lord and Savior, he commands every believer to disciple others. When we talk about the Great Commission, and Jesus was talking to the original disciples, but by extension, he's talking to all of us, you know, the church hadn't started yet, mm-hmm. but that extends to all of us. So we are all to make disciples. In fact, if you'll recall, the command is, as you are going, you are to make disciples. That's the main command. So it's the Lord's priority. I mean, that's what we need to be concerned about. It's not how I feel, or if I have time, or I'm old enough or smart enough, or what are all these other things we tell ourselves. It's just the Lord's priority. He tells us that we are to go and make disciples. So it needs to be a priority to us. And so I would say that if you feel like you do not have enough time, or, you know, or just don't have time to be involved, maybe just look at what your priorities are. Maybe think through, then, what are your priorities? What are you involved in? I think another important thing to bring up when you think like this, you don't think it's important to be involved, is to think about your view of Scripture. I think that's an awfully low view of Scripture, wouldn't you say? Because it really is saying that all of the commands that are in the Bible, and I'm particularly focused on the one another commands. Some say there's 40, some say there's 70, but there's just a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about that, how am I going to engage in the one another's if there's not another person I'm engaging the one another's with? And so obviously we're in community. Obviously we need to be involved in each other's lives. And so when we say that it's not important enough to be involved in that, then there's something wrong with our view of Scripture and what's important to the Lord. So I would just think through that a little bit and just try to think through then what is important to you, or what mm-hmm. do you think you should be involved in, or what how do you view the Christian life, that kind of thing. Because in Scripture, especially in the New Testament, it doesn't know anything of any Christian that's not discipling. That's normal Christian living. Now, you could look at seasons in life, and you could say that when you have little children, maybe your discipleship focuses mostly on them at seasons in life. And then as as your children get older and your life's season changes and things like that, it can be the younger people in the church or the woman that's coming over that's a new believer. I mean, there's just a whole variety. But again, mm-hmm. I think it goes back to making time and thinking through that a little carefully. It's not a program that you sign up for at church. It's sure. just something you should be involved in because Jesus tells you to.
Right. Well, and yeah. you know, I can think of the women that invested in me when right. my children were little, and they had children, and they were just doing life, you know, in the kitchen and cutting the crust off of the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but yet reading the scriptures to their children while she was doing that. Mm-hmm. And so I was learning the value of the word and giving that to my children in a very practical way. Mm-hmm. And instead of saying, well, I've got to make lunch, I can't read the scriptures to them. We can.
Yeah.
We can while they're eating their peanut butter. Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just thinking outside the box. It doesn't have to be one way.
Right. You know? Programmatic, like you're mm-hmm. saying. And well, and I think, you know, they're chewing their sandwiches. They're going to be more quiet than normal because they're doing something, right? And mm-hmm. so they're going to hear the scripture. So for me to see that as a young mom was a blessing.
Oh, yeah.
And it has stuck with me all these years. My children are, you know, in their 30s. But yet I remember learning just a very practical tool, mm-hmm. if you want to call it that,
sure.
from another woman mm-hmm. on parenting.
And she opened up her home to you. And she made herself available. And it wasn't, it doesn't sound like it was anything more than life on life and purposeful.
Yeah.
You learned a lot. It stuck with you. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she didn't have to have a college degree.
Right. Well, so. And that leads us to myth number six. The person you disciple has to become just like you. So the goal is always going to be Christ-likeness. We are not making mini Kimberlys or mini Shelbys, right? Heaven forbid. No, we want to live our lives in such a way that as we disciple, we're showing them that when they imitate us, that really it's because we have imitated Christ and now they're imitating Christ as well. And so 1 Corinthians 4:16 says, imitate me. Paul is speaking about becoming a spiritual father to those in the Corinthian church through the gospel. And then he says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. So the goal is always pointing them to Christ. And, you know, even going back to your involvement, you know, Christ invested 3 years in 12 disciples.
That's right.
And these men weren't necessarily grateful at the end right. of Christ's life. We see words like betrayal from one, and then we see that there was blasphemy and running in fear from the other 11, not just Peter. But then, you know, God did a wonderful work in their lives and they became more intentional in their discipleship and more bold and faithful through that trial that they encountered through the working of the gospel that was going out through the life of Christ and death of Christ at that time. So with that being said, involvement, and imitation are important. But the involvement is to look like the way Christ was involved in the lives of others. And the imitation is that we're to imitate Christ.
Yeah, that's right. Because sometimes what can happen in discipleship and even counseling, if we're not careful, is they become too dependent upon you. Mm-hmm. And that's a common problem that happens. So they are doing everything for you, kind of a people-pleasing mentality. But we, like you said, we want to teach others to follow us as we follow Christ. And even Paul talks about that in Philippians, practice these things, right?
But yes.
He means as he's practicing those things.
Mm-hmm. These things you have seen and heard and learned in me.
Yeah.
Do practice these things.
Yeah, you need to practice these things. So that's important. But yeah, so imitate you as you follow Christ. But we have another myth that we need to look at. And this is one that I hear of quite frequently. It's kind of funny. Hopefully it'll make you chuckle because it makes me chuckle. But just thinking through because you'll see why. Myth number 7, you have to be over 50 and married to disciple. And of course, I'm over 50 now and married. But anyway, no, you don't have to be. That's definitely a big, big fat no. Like I said before, discipleship is just simply commanded by Christ. We live the discipled life because we're disciples of Christ, and we live the discipling life. We're called to disciple others while we're going along. And, you know, we are called to teach others the very things that we've been taught by Christ, and that can look a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm sitting down and I have the scriptures open and I'm walking someone through a passage. Sometimes I'm just talking through scripture with somebody, trying to help them think biblically. But I think this myth probably came about because doesn't it remind you of Titus 2?
Right.
So I'm wondering if sometimes women think that discipleship just happens when you're old enough, and they're looking at that Titus 2 model. The older women, Titus 2, 3 to 5, the older women are to come alongside and so teach those things that are good. And then Paul goes through a whole list of the good things in that particular passage, like love your husband and love your children, be a keeper of your home and the like, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. And so I'm thinking maybe there's a little bit of confusion there. I mean, we know that probably the Titus 2 woman that Paul has in mind is a woman chronologically that's older, probably in her 60s, because women were having children up through their 50s in that culture. So he may have had that in mind, someone that's passed through childbearing, someone that's been married a long time. That's probably the season in life he's referring to. But really, all women should be Titus 2 women in training.
Well, I mean, and it doesn't say older wives teach the younger wives.
Yeah, that's true.
It says older women.
Well, I mean, that's another thing that you bring up that's really good to think through, because in 1 Timothy 5, Paul talks about the widow indeed, mm-hmm. and so her list of attributes match this perfectly. So it may not even be a married woman. It could be an older single woman. Anna the prophetess, mm-hmm. you know, she was widowed at the age of 27, and so she fasted and prayed day and night at the temple there. So, I mean, there's just a lot of things that could be considered there. But really, all women should be Titus 2 women in training. We should be reverent in our behavior. We should mm-hmm. be not enslaved to much wine. We should not be going about being malicious gossips, but we should be coming alongside others with the goal of just showing and teaching them good things. And teaching them good things means a variety of things. Biblical knowledge, for sure, but also modeling good things, kind of like what you were talking about with just observing someone reading the scriptures to their children as they're making them lunch. Being a great multitasker, but
right.
you know, we're all commanded to engage in the one another's with each other. That's part of discipleship. And again, you know, as I think back on my own life as a young believer, I spent so much time with other women. It was so valuable because I was 27 when I got saved and I didn't know anything. I was a feminist and I had certain ways that I thought about things. Mm. And praise God, though, by the way, you know, that God saved me within an environment where I was actually taught the Bible well. And I think that was so wonderful because it could have been the other way, right? I could have just ran with my feminist thinking.
In the church,
which comes up, which is sad. But no, I had women who modeled for me what a godly wife and mother looked like. And I was able to observe attitudes and behaviors. And even mm-hmm. when they failed, it was still an opportunity to learn about confession and forgiveness.
Ah.
Yeah, I mean, that's important.
That would be another myth that we didn't even bring up. That they have to be perfect.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And they have to be over 50, have been married a long time, mm-hmm. and perfect in their behavior. No, not at all. I mean, these are just women that are being willing to be used mm-hmm. and used as an instrument in God's hand, being willing to invest in a life and just to model and teach good things. We need to be women, and I'm telling you, I'm so passionate about this. We need to be women that are willing to train the next generation. I think the world has a huge hold on our young people's hearts. And we've just got to be about coming alongside and encouraging mm-hmm. them to follow the Lord. And the culture has such a huge hold.
Amen.
It's been harder and harder, yeah. actually. But yep. Okay. So let's go on to myth number 8. I could talk on and on about that. But you go, girl.
Yeah. You have no opinions yeah. about that. No feelings about yeah. that at all. No. They're good. I appreciate your passion. And that's why we get along so well as we record together, because we are definitely like-minded. So you must solve all the problems of the person you are discipling. Myth number 8. No, that is false. The goal is to help them grow in Christ-likeness, not to fix their problems. So with that being said, let's go to Romans 8, 28 and 29. This is a verse that you will probably hear a lot during our interviews and in our discussion because we both are teaching in Romans right now. But Romans 8, 28 and 29 says, "We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren." And so we know that this is about becoming like Christ. And we know that it means that they are growing in Christ becoming preeminent in their lives. Because there is always going to be an area of my life where he is not genuinely my first priority, because we are sinners. Because we are sinners, we sin. And then we are going to, through that, learn that there are ways that Christ is not being Lord of our, we're not allowing him the rightful place of Lord. And so we repent. And then through that process, then we are putting him on the rightful place he belongs. Mm-hmm. He's already there, honest, right? I want to make sure that I'm coming across clear. He's already there, but we're not acknowledging it and growing in that understanding and making that lordship our first priority.
Great. That's so great. Well, that leads us to the last myth that we're going to cover today. Myth number number 9, you have to be super spiritual and have your BA or MA in biblical counseling to disciple someone. Definitely a myth. Of course, it's kind of funny that I would have to answer this question because I've got a lot of training in it. But you know what? Just keep this in mind. We're all sinners. We all come to the cross the same, but we all serve a great Savior. We don't have to be super spiritual to come alongside and disciple somebody. We don't even have to have all the answers. Sometimes it's just a matter of having a willing heart and a desire to bring the scriptures to bear upon that. But you don't have to be like have a degree in theology or have had 5 classes in hermeneutics or even an MABC in biblical counseling. But there are some of us that just really love the ministry and we desire to just go a little deeper and take it that direction. And so praise the Lord for those opportunities. Really scripture in Romans 15 talks about that you who are spiritual, filled with all knowledge, you are to counsel one another. And so that admonition is for all believers. Mm-hmm. And so we're all to come alongside and to encourage others towards Christ-likeness. And that's a blessing. I mean, even before we decided to record, we just sat together for an hour and had lunch and we encouraged one another towards Christ-likeness. You shared something from your life. I shared something from my life. And we both were just praising the Lord about how he works through our life.
Right.
And so you didn't need a degree to do that. I didn't need a degree to do that. It just was more about our care for one another, our compassion for one another, that desire to just be involved and to just love one another, to love in good deeds. And so, you don't have to be super spiritual. Some people just have the capacity and the desire to go further in their training. I think that's wonderful. There's biblical methodology that you're taught, biblical counseling methodology that you're taught, just to kind of deal with things in a particular way. But yeah, I mean, if we felt like we needed to be super spiritual or perfect or have a degree, I don't think any of us would really qualify.
I agree.
I mean, even the Apostle Paul had weaknesses. He wasn't, he may be considered the super giant of Christians, but he was a weak guy too. He had his issues too. I mean, we all, this side of heaven, we all have a new nature, but we still deal with the residue of sin. And so we still struggle. And it's not about perfection, ladies. It's about being faithful.
Right.
And it's about striving towards holiness while abiding in Christ. That's what we do with one another. So I hope that this has been helpful to you. We covered quite a few things today, but I think that maybe some of the highlights here are when it comes to discipleship is the fact that there should be a sense of urgency. We should make time to disciple, and we do have enough time. We just need to make it a priority in our life. And I think Kim did a great job of arguing that biblically. She didn't even have to really give her opinion. She took us right to the scriptures. She exhorted us to redeem the time, and that's what we need to be doing. Also, I think it was just helpful to kind of think through discipleship being more about life on life. It can look like a weekly meeting, but sometimes it's just meeting with someone that has a need, and we get to minister to them in the moment with the scriptures. So there should always be purpose behind it, and I would say probably the great purpose is just leading someone, helping them to be more dependent upon Christ and his word. We know that discipleship doesn't happen by accident. We have a high view of God, and so we have a God that's sovereign, a God that brings people into our life through his providence. And so, you know, they're out there and they're going to be showing up on your door, so you should be ready. We know that a person that we disciple, we really should have the mindset that they're not to become like us, but they're to imitate us as we follow Christ in that sense. And again, ladies, you don't have to be over 50 to disciple. All of us are commanded to do it. You can think through it in terms of just seasons of life. But having said that, whether it's your children or younger women in your church or just other peers, I mean, it should be happening all the time. It just looks different. It doesn't always look the same.
Right.
And so I just want to encourage you to really think through some of those things and to just maybe spend time with the Lord and just ask your heart, what's hindering you from discipling? Don't you trust the Lord with your time? Don't you trust that the Lord knows best? And again, even in Matthew 28, when Jesus, that very last verse, Jesus says, "And lo, I am with you till the end of the age." And so don't we believe in the promises of God enough to know that even when we're in the midst of discipleship, relationship, his nearness is our good. He's with us the whole time. We have nothing to fear, and we have everything to gain. And so I hope that this was encouraging. And as Kim says, and I'll just end the podcast here, I definitely want you to enjoy your coffee.
Thank you for listening to the Women's Hope podcast today. If you enjoyed this show, please leave a rating on your podcast app of choice, share the podcast with your friends and family on social media, or subscribe to support the show. We would love to hear from you on Instagram and Twitter using the handle Women's Hope Show, on Facebook at Servants of Grace, or on the front page of servantsofgrace.org.